May I speak in the name of the living and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. What a beautiful day in New York. Thank you, Father John David, for your wonderful invitation to me to be with you this morning. It's a great pleasure and great honor to be here, flying from London yesterday and bathed with the sun here, which you wouldn't expect in London at this time. It was gloomy and rainy and flooding and everything. And we were having another flood of Brexit and the general election. So to get on with it and get it behind us. It's wonderful to be here in New York again. I've been here many times, but never in this wonderful, wonderful church. And I'm very grateful for Father John David for this invitation. My name is Nadim, and I come originally from Syria. And I studied in Lebanon during the civil war of Lebanon, the Lebanese civil war in the 80s. So I lived half of the civil war of Lebanon between 81 and 88. So for my sins, I lived another civil war in my own country, Syria. So two civil wars in my life and two major wars between the Arabs and the Israelis in 67 and 73. So what is left of my life without war? I don't know. And by the end of my year of 55 years old, I look back and I find I come from one of the most suffering regions in the world. Syria has lost so far over 1 million people. Imagine a city of 1 million people in America would disappear within 5 years. How would you feel? And we are left with hundreds of thousands of injured and severely injured. And 12 million refugees. Half of them outside the country and half of them displaced inside their own land. And recently, the Turkish invasion added more casualties, more bloodshed, more displaced people, and more suffering. I'm the director of the Awareness Foundation. The Awareness Foundation is an international educational foundation which works for peace building globally. But at the moment, we are focusing our work in the Middle East, but not only in the Middle East, inside Syria and inside Iraq, because the suffering is enormous. And since big organizations like the UN, the UNICEF, Church in Need, and all this, Children's in Need, they are working with the refugees. So we decided to work with those who were left behind inside those countries. And the number of Christians in Syria and Iraq has plummeted dramatically. Nobody knows now the percentage, but before the war, Syria had about 18% Christians. It's very difficult to believe, because nobody knew even Christianity existed in Syria. And I was always asked in Europe, Father, when did you become Christian? In the beginning, I was upset with the question. What do you mean, when I became Christian? I've always been Christian. Oh, well, the second question followed. Well, then your parents became Christians. So no awareness beyond my parents of the existence of Christianity in Syria. Then I said three things. What about the resurrection of the Lord and his crucifixion and his life was in Palestine, which was a satellite of Syria? That's a shock for the Western mind. In the Roman Empire, and even before, the whole area was called Syria. The second, where did St. Paul become Christian? On the road to Damascus. So St. Paul became Christian on the road to Damascus, not to London and not to Berlin, to Damascus, which is, by the way, still the capital of Syria. And the third, they were called Christians first in
Antioch.
Where? Antioch. Where was Antioch? Syria. My mother was born in Antioch. My mother is Antiochian. But when the West gave it to Turkey, my mother and her family were pushed south to Latakia, the Mediterranean port of Syria. So now, Antioch is Turkey, but it was always Syria. So, more proofs? Well, St. Paul, when he left Malta in the Acts of the Apostles, he said, "We are heading towards Tyre, which is a city in Syria," he said. Now, Tyre is a city in where? In Lebanon. So, Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, Palestine was all called Syria. Before the Western countries, especially the British and the French, decided to slice it and give weird names to every country, like the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Do you like your country to be called, for example, the United States of Trump? Well, as funny as it is for you, it is not funny for us. The Hashemites are only a family, like Trump and like the Windsor in Britain. The British wouldn't want to call their country the United Kingdom of Windsor. But we had to accept the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. And the worst is Saudi Arabia. Since when Saudi? It's Al Saud is a tribe in the Arabian Peninsula. That's what was called for millennia. So we decided to work on that ignorance between East and West as the Awareness Foundation. And we are working with young people, young adults, who are full of life. But the war devastated them. They became angry. Angry with God, angry with the church, angry with everybody. And our task, our mission, is to turn this anger into a positive ministry in their own broken society. With every awareness that we are numerically a minority there. But Syria was Christian for 600 years before even Islam started. Because before even Muhammad was born. And we work with little children, like the wonderful girls we heard today, to bring back their childhood, their lost childhood in the war. Give them back some hope, some laughter. Help them to rediscover their childhood, their gifts. This is what we are doing. Most of the times, this reading we heard today reminded me of Syria, because when they asked Jesus about this marriage thing of seven brothers getting married to one woman. This details of the law, they wanted to trap him. And he ripped it apart with his wisdom and said, what are you talking about? The resurrection is not like this. They were fully convinced that this is what God wanted, how God functioned. Many times, my friends, we project on God our image of God. And we do not leave God to be God and to speak to us as God. In Syria, we are being killed every day as Christians in the name of God. But remember, Jesus said to us, there will be a time when people would think to kill you, they are serving God. In St. John's Gospel. And that time came these years in Syria and Iraq. Some Muslim organizations, they think by killing us, they are serving God. We impose on God what we want actually, our own agenda. And this is very dangerous. Even today, I look at the world, I see polarized societies. I've never seen your wonderful society so polarized and fragmented. Sorry to say that, guys. I'm an outsider. I'm an observer. I've been coming to America since 1986. I've never seen the American society so polarized. I've never seen the Americans are so much aggressive against each other just because they are different politically. Well, calm down, my friends. Jesus was different. He didn't attack anybody. He didn't hate anybody. He embraced the challenge. And he opened a dialogue even with those who hated him. Therefore, coming from a destroyed, devastated country, I tell you, we need peace builders in this world. We need people who believe that God, our God, is the God of the resurrection, the God of peace, the God of love, the God of reconciliation. This is what we need in our world. Let's put our hands together to build peace builders, peace ambassadors, as we call the young people in our program, Ambassadors for Peace. We need so many of that in order to put our world in order and bring the name of Christ to be the light of the world. Not to add to fragmentation, not to add to the aggression, or not to add to the tension. My friends, the darkness is everywhere in our world. Instead of lighting a candle, let's make sure that each and every one of us is a candle that is lit to overcome the darkness of this world. May the Lord send His wind, refreshing wind of His Spirit and Word, to open our heart and mind for His peace, and send us out as ambassadors of His love and ambassadors of His peace. Amen.